Hello everybody. Hello, it's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel again. So in this video, I'm going to consider what Kazakhstan's stance is on the Russo-Ukrainian conflict. Now, Kazakhstan is a Central Asian country. In area, it's the ninth largest country in the world, but it's got only 17 million people. It's got one of the longest land borders in the world, and that's with Russia. So it's a quantum Soviet republic, and is a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which is to say Russia's military alliance with five other nation states. It's also a member of the Commonwealth of Independent States, which nine former Soviet countries are part of as part of the Eurasian Economic Union, which is meant to be Russia's answer to the European Union, has never really got off the ground since its founding in 2011. So Russian is an official language of Kazakhstan, along with Kazakh. But Kasym Jomart Tokayev is the first person to take office in Kazakhstan since the end of the Soviet era. The previous president, Nursultan Nazarbayev, he was governing Kazakhstan for the last 2 years of the Soviet Union, right up until 2019, for 30 years. So Tokayev has made Kazakhstan more distinctively Kazakh and promoted the Kazakh language and concomitantly demoted the Russian language, though it's still got official status. 20% of Kazakh citizens are ethnic Russians, and they're particularly concentrated along the northern frontier with Siberia. But nevertheless, Kazakhstan has abstained in the United Nations on the Ukraine war. Now they're in an invidious position because they're quite economically reliant on Russia. They produce a lot of oil, gas, coal, metals, and so forth. And often this is exported via Russia. The biggest trade partner for over a dozen years has been the People's Republic of China. And there's some ethnic Kazakhs who actually are Chinese citizens. They're often thrown into these slave labor camps, and the Kazakh government just throws them under a bus, doesn't care about them because they don't want to offend their paymasters in Beijing. So they also make overtures to Western countries. They can't go that far. It's an authoritarian state with elections which are charades. It's not as violently oppressive as Turkmenistan or even Uzbekistan, but it's certainly not a free country. So there's no right to strike, independent trade unions aren't permitted, the media is severely restricted. A man who suggested that Russia united the Kazakhstan unite with Russia was given 5 years in prison. 5 years for an idea. So they can't afford to offend the Russians too much, but they're also wary they might be invaded. Putin himself has said that Kazakhstan has got no history of statehood. Other Russian politicians have publicly doubted Kazakhstan's legitimacy. The late Vladimir Zhirin, who was actually born in Kazakhstan, he advocated the annexation of Kazakhstan and so on. And actually, Russia picked the wrong victim. It should have picked someone that was just feeble, not wishing to say that Kazakhstan's a weakling, but is outnumbered by Russia 10 to 1. Ukraine's only outnumbered 3.5 to 1. And this huge long border with Kazakhstan end. So, and whereas it's rich in oil, gas, coal, and metals, whereas Ukraine is not so rich pickings in terms of natural resources. So what has Kazakhstan's stance been? It is quite independent. Some of their oil, it transits Russia before going on to Germany, for instance. And it was also shipping some out via the Novorossiysk, this Russian port on the Black Sea. But there was this legal dispute in 2022, and it didn't go out for a few weeks. It's probably Russia penalizing Kazakhstan for not being supportive of the Ukraine issue. So Kazakhstan is moving out of the Russian sphere of influence. It switched the Kazakh language from using the Cyrillic alphabet to the Latin alphabet. Of course, in the 19th century, it used the Arabic alphabet. So Russia used to use the Baikonur spaceports using the Vostochny one in Siberia, less and less. And some Russians who were running away from conscription fled to Kazakhstan. But the Kazakhs have said, the Russians, Ukrainians, Belarusians, they're all welcome in Kazakhstan. They're former Soviet siblings. But they said if Russia wants anyone extradited for military service, that person will be extradited. So far as I know, none have actually been extradited. There have been no such requests. What else? So there is now a very cozy relationship between China and the Russian Federation. And that's a headache for the Kazakhs because they were able to play the two off against each other. But now you can't really have equidistance as they're driven closer together. But there's no doubt that China wears the trousers in the relationship with Russia. So the Kazakhs like to show they've got their options open. They're very happy to welcome the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, when he visited the country in March this year, part of a sort of a wider tour of Central Asia. And there's that 7,500-kilometer long border between Kazakhstan and Russia. How on earth do you defend that? Well, it's completely indefensible. Anyway, in 2022, Kazakh exports to Russia rose to $8.8 billion. That was a 22% year-on-year increase. Admittedly, the previous year, 2021, had been quite of a slow year because coronavirus was only just coming to an end. And mobile phone sales went up 18-fold. Semiconductor sales went up by a multiple of 308. So that was a staggering increase in sale of those items. So really, this is parallel imports. The Ruskies are evading sanctions by ordering things like semiconductors from Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan orders them the Western and sanctioning country. The Kazakhs then sell them on to the Russians, notwithstanding any not-for-resale clause. So these sanctions are very leaky. So they're allowing sanctions busting because they make money. Moreover, they want to keep on the right side of the Russians. The moment the Russia can't pose a threat to them because almost all their offensive capabilities being used against Ukraine. But this war is going to end sometime. Whether it's a Russian victory or Russian defeat, the Russians, they could come after Kazakhstan later on. So they don't want to work them. So there is a superabundance of evidence that Russia is getting around sanctions with the Kazakh government's connivance, to say the very least. Anyway, so the things they're selling on is they're selling on spare parts for planes because, you know, Aeroflot can't get them. They're almost all Western manufactured. The electronic items, various chemicals, pipes, ball bearings, laptops, other computers, radios, some sort of metals, even the plastic used for bank cards. So some Russians have actually gone to Kazakhstan and they've opened their bank accounts there to allow them to get around Russia being cut off from the SWIFT system. anyway, use these cards abroad. What else? So the United States has requested the Kazakhs stop allowing their country to be used for Russia to expedite sanctions busting. The Kazakhs are making sort of token efforts to do so. So they want to avoid annoying either Russia or the West too much. And some European Union companies are now loath to sell certain goods to Kazakhstan because they have a fairly good idea that these will simply be sold on to Russia. And the Kazakhs, they complain that their customs service is simply overwhelmed by the huge rise in the sale of goods to Russia, and they can't can't inspect all these exports properly. Now, there may be some truth in that. And Kazakh companies which are selling items to Russia, they can get a 12% value-added tax refund, but normally they don't claim that because their markup is well over 12%. They want to speed things up and not make it too obvious what they're doing. So, yeah, President Tokayev is not automatically pro-Russian as his predecessor, Nursultan Nazarbayev, was. And in 2022, Tokayev was even in Russia for the St. Petersburg Economic Forum. And with Putin standing right beside him on stage, Tokayev said that Kazakhstan does not really think that the Luhansk and Donetsk are part of Russia, obviously part of Ukraine. There have been some pro-Russian demonstrations in Kazakhstan, rapidly closed down by the police. The Kazakhs were delighted to host Xi Jinping in 2022. That doesn't look like anything's changing. So Kazakhstan, I suppose, is fairly neutral. Apparently some humanitarian aid has been sent to Ukraine. There was some sort of Kazakh tent up in some cities, and some of the Russians disapproved of any common decency or humanity shown to the Ukrainians. So Tokayev is there to stay. His Amanat party won the election. So virtually everybody in the Kazakh Majlis is a cheerleader for him. So Tokayev is not thought to be a man who's lining his own pockets. It was a kleptocracy under his predecessor, and the filthy lucre of the Nazarbayev clan has largely been confiscated. So Tokayev is meant to go on to serve to 2029, but so far we've got no idea who's going to be next. There's no even list of papabile. And he has one child, but his son seems to have no desire to be involved in public life. So Kazakhstan is a very corrupt country. 94th out of 180, very low on transparency, very low on economic freedom, very low on freedom of the press. So that is Kazakhstan. There's no sign that this is going to change. All right, toodaloo.